last topic of the Refuah B'Shabbos part. We should mention, just before leaving the Pikuach Nefesh part, we should mention they give Kol Tzirachot. There is a Magid Mishnah that says that if a person is a Chayla Mesukan, so then was allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos for a Chayla Mesukan, even if I'm doing something for the Chayla that if I would not do, it would not further endanger it. Right? If he's a healthy person, that's called Chayla Shabbos. Is the Chayla She'ein Basakana, it's also called Chayla Shabbos. But if he's a Chayla She'ein Basakana, so then the if it's a chayla she'ein basakana, so then it's a chayla she'yesh basakana. Sorry, it's a chayla she'yesh basakana. So then the then the Magid Mishnah has a chinish. We would normally assume a chola sheyesh b'sakana, I should only be able to service that chola in ways that will help him get out of the sakana. Right, so we had one exception until now, and that is that hayoytzin lahatzil is a fil b'chazarosa. But that also is to save lives, because the Gemara Chazal said that we're afraid that if we will not allow a person to be chozer, and we pointed out ayyadei nachri, so then they will not head out the next time and save a life. So we don't really have a situation where you can do anything which is not for pikuach nefesh. Not Magid Mishnah Zachirish. Magid Mishnah says that once a person becomes a chayla mesukan, so then one can do things which are for the purpose of the chayla, even though not doing them will not, even though if we would refrain from doing them, that would not, the chayla would not be in any more danger. So this chiddush of the Magid Mishnah is very much discussed amongst the Yerushalayim Achrayim. How do we follow the Magid Mishnah? And if we follow, how do we define the Magid Mishnah approach? There is the Yechav Ados. Rabbi Yosef thought in the beginning of his tshuva that this should be dependent on the way we began our learning, whether Shabbos is the chuy hutra of mikoch nefesh. If Shabbos is hutra, it's like Tuesday, so maybe once it's like Tuesday, so I can even do things which are called tzirachim. But even Rabbi Yosef, after he makes this case, he says that he thinks that is not correct, because he points out that the Radvaz holds like the Magid Mishnah, and the Radvaz holds the Chuyin. So therefore, once you finish with that Shuvah, then we are forced to say that we have to take the Magid Mishnah seriously, even only B'nai Ashkenaz who follow the Ramah. So the Achroinim have great difficulty with this Magid Mishnah from several Gemaras. There is a long Be'er Halacha, which discusses this and points out the many, many questions we have. First of all, the whole approach of the Chuyin. How can you say the chuy is efshel kaim shneim? Kaim shneim means you keep the guy alive and keep Shabbos. But even more powerful kasha is that the Gemara talk, we mentioned this about Rebbe Bashurim, that if you go to the tree and there are two olives there, and the chol only requires one olive, so even though it's going to be the exact same cut of whether they take up two olives or one olive, Allah can only remove the twig. There's one olive. So how can you say, it sounds like we're making cheshbonos of exactly what is required for this chayla. The Magid Mishnah would say no. In that case, the second olive is mamish l'mal l'morit, wouldn't even be mechazik. So the defining kol tzirachav is much discussed amongst the svarim. The Mishnah Brewer's approach is that kol tzirachav, Mishnah points out that it's a difficult Magid Mishnah, and he says that certainly one can be Mechal Shabbos if by not being Mechal Shabbos this person could become in his the danger, the probability, the sikuyim of sakana would increase. But he says that the Magid Mishnah means more than that, and he is understanding the Magid Mishnah to say that if something will be mechazik l'choyle, or if we were afraid that by not having this particular service, the choyle will get weaker. That's the narrow envelope of the Magid Mishnah. Now, it doesn't mean, the Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't mean kol tzirachav, that Mechal Shabbos to buy a newspaper, you get a favorite book for a choyle, and kol tzirachav. No, that doesn't mean, that's not going to help him get better. Kol tzirachav means, the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Locha says, if this will make him stronger. So, the doctors aren't saying, this will make or break his recuperation. Doctors are not saying that if you get him this, he will recuperate faster, quicker, stronger. No, they're not saying that. But we see he'll become mitchazek, he'll become fresher, stronger, or frankeret. If I don't give it to him, he'll become shvacher. The doctors are not saying that it's of the order in which I'm now more nervous about his life than it was a few minutes ago. That'd be the refosh. But the doctor's saying, no, he's going to be, whether you provide this or don't provide it, the sikuyim of his successful recuperation are the same. But, it chazek, will become stronger. The, the Rabbi Yosef quotes a Rashash that explains the Magid Mishnah to a cumulative sources of concern. In other words, why kol tzirachav? So he quotes the Rishash saying the person is not in the not getting this tzirach will not compromise him in any way. Not getting a tzirach 10 minutes later won't compromise him. But if the entire day goes by and he doesn't get various tzirachim, so at the end he'll get shvachim. So the Rishash says the idea of kol tzirachav are taking care of those things that maybe in the cumulative will have an impact, and not wait and allowing the to take care of it at an earlier time. Sometimes it can be something to think about in dealing with these kinds of halacha lamai situations. So we've discussed chayla mesukan, and we discussed a chayla she'ein mesakana. So what's left to discuss is a healthy person who's just not feeling well. A boru with a mechush ba'alma. Yeah.
So Lamaisa, do we accept this?
I mean, the Be'alacha, again, we go with the Be'alacha, and we evaluate if it's a tzarech, then to which we'll give him greater chizak, and if it physically strengthen him. Yeah. I'm not his height, I think, we'd go with the Chavetz Chaim. Yeah.
It's only the Rabbanans. Can we do more than that?
I'm sorry?
It's only the Rabbanans. Can we do more than that?
I don't know. They might be frivolous at that point. I don't think. In other words, if it's a, can I ask a guy to get him a newspaper, to drive to the newsstand? I don't think so. At least that, you know. I don't think so. It comes up, for example, an interesting halacha in my situation. There's one of our musfachim is Rabbi David Shabtai, lives in Boca. So Rabbi David Shabtai, he's a doctor also. So he suggests that maybe we should evaluate the doula through kol tzirachav. But a doula is an aid, and a birthing aid. That is a woman who can be a man also, I guess, is an aid that when a woman is preparing to go into labor. So the different kinds of preparations one makes, right? One, aside from obviously the medical preparations, one registers in the hospital, one starts reading up on labor, one sometimes the husband and wife may take certain courses about how to deal with the labor, one may invite someone to one's home to give a different techniques how to deal with the pain of labor. So one of the possibilities is to hire a doula. So a doula is a person who is a labor coach, who coaches the woman through labor. All right. So the question would become, can the doula be Mechallel Shabbos? In order to help the, right? In other words, a doula can say, I'm going to take care of you. Of course, if you go into labor on you know, when I'm taking my vacation and I'll have a backup. She could say, if you go into labor and Shabbos, I'll have a backup. That's one approach. May impact on the business end of her doulaship. But can a doula say that I can, if one of my clients goes into labor, can I attend to this person in Shabbos? So, l'chara, the person giving birth in the hospital, whether the doula is there or not, not going to impact her safety, so to speak. And there are doula studies that show that the chances of having a C-section are reduced with the doula. So l'chara, that should be a clear indication that doulas are there to help people not become a chol v'sukkah, because C-section is a bigger sukkah than giving birth. But you have to know how to read studies. When you read the study carefully, those studies were when the doulas were the only source of the coach. The husbands were not there. So we don't have a study that says if the husband is there coaching his wife, now I bring a doula in, so does that reduce the chances of C-section? I don't think we have such a study. So that's why it's very hard to work with these, to build the case that a doula is, when there is another coach, hopefully the husband, the mother, somebody, that the doula is going to help reduce the chances of a sakana. On the other hand, Hashabtai had the suggestion that maybe a doula should be seen as called tzrachav, because the woman is dependent on this, not dependent, but was counting on the doula coming. She was counting the doula helping her reduce the pain. Presumably, the doula and the husband will reduce more pain than just the husband. So, l'chara, that would match the Mishnah Berurah's idea of his chazay and shalol yechmash. Pain, experiencing pain is exhausting. It does reduce one's strength. So, I would still, l'ani'as da'iti, I would still strongly say that a doula should take shvi'ot the goy. A doula should not... should not drive herself to the hospital. They're going to drive her, because the timing of the doula is usually not as if the doula needs to get there. If 5 minutes makes a difference, the doula getting there, then this woman is in the living room already. So she's going fast. So the chances are that whether she gets, or the doula gets there within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 8 minutes, is not going to make that significant difference. So the doula is usually called earlier. So, given this analysis, and till we get some better studies on doula's performance in the context of other coaches, so I'm not convinced personally that we would say Michal Shabbos de Raisa. Nevertheless, this idea of Rabbi Shabtai is a promising idea to be Malo Shulchan Malach, but that'd be a very practical case where we can zero in on the envelope that the Chofetz Chaim defined for us.
You have someone who's like very mufunak.
Very what?
Someone who's very mufunak.
Right? Okay.
And you just know their personality. Any, like, if you've happened to them, they feel healthier, they feel better.
Could be in that case.
Yeah, in that case, doing anything.
If a person who's a Cholish Sakana. The Marshal had a situation where a person Cholish Sakana and they had surgery on Wednesday, so they haven't been showered. Haven't washed since Wednesday. Wednesday, so Shabbos is the first time when they're willing to, the hospital can have them take a shower. Then. So Lamasa, when that comes up, so I think that we should be Mako Ayidei Nochri. Why? Because what's the problem? The problem is the Deiraisa turning on the hot water, which may not be Deiraisa because of the hospital system, and the Drabbanans that may be in place of Gerza Balanan. So in that case, I think you can have the nurses do all the questionable activities, and there is a certain, and Lanias Daiti, there is a certain hygienic advantage to being bathed, and has been bathed, and certainly in the hospital when there are all sorts of bacteria running around that we're not that we're nervous about. So when you put that all together, I would think that there probably would be grants to shower oneself. And yes, if there are nurses readily available, so you don't need to go that road, but that would be something in the In line with what you're saying. Yeah. Good. Go ahead.
Can't one just get a non-Jewish doula and avoid the entire problem?
The answer is yes. The kashala comes from a from woman who is a doula.
Yeah, I'm saying anticipating that. Just what might someone do?
Well, the doula would push back and say, "Do we say the same thing about OBGYNs?" You know, so that means that if a woman wants to become a doula, then she have to put in her caring card, not a shop. So that's the issue.
So again, in the case of showering, how does having a non-Jewish nurse get around the Gzeirat Baladin? Because it's still washing you, so you're still...
No, probably, no. It probably does not get around Gzeirat Baladin, but there is a Gzeirat Baladin. That would be a Durbanan. The reason why I said it with some level of uncertainty is because there's a Machlok Rishonim whether the Gzeirat Baladin applies to a shower or just to a bath. So we are not generally soymich on that, but that's why I said it's not certain that there's a Issa Durban here. But Lachar, the Gzeirat Baladin is valid when a person goes into the bath. That's correct.
Isn't there this Rabbi Kivager in Shinzain that there's a het there that the Gzeirat Baladin doesn't apply to a desire?
I don't remember.
Okay,
we'll check it out. Okay. There is a... No, okay, that'd be very important. Good. Good, so now let's move on to Bari with the Mechash Ba'alma. Okay, so what's this? The Gemara says that the Gemara in Nun Gimel Mebeis says that Chazal Mesakein that a person cannot take medications on Shabbos. Gemara says that we're afraid that Gzeira of Schikas Samamonim. Then in the Gemara's time, medications did not come in pill form, didn't come in caplet form, but medications were then a recipe, take certain kinds of herbs, grind them down, and then take them in a certain way. So if a person will take medications on Shabbos, we're afraid that will lead to them grinding the medications on Shabbos. Say, if a person is a chayli sheyesh b'sakon, of course, the mokim sakon only goes very about the mokim tsar. If a person is a chayli sheyin b'sakon, Chazal didn't aser take medications. When Chazal aser that you can't grind the medication of chayli sheyin b'sakon, but they didn't make a gzeira shema yisakim b'sakon. However, a person is healthy, meichush ba'alma, and they are uncomfortable. They're not in, as we described last week, they're not in so much pain that they have to lie down. They're not in so much pain that if it's Tuesday and if they're in their offices, that they would come home and lie down in the office. Not in so much pain. They're not a chayla machol gufa. They don't have this fluey, full-bodied feeling. They're not as the Aruch HaShulchan that they're staying at home because they're not feeling well. But they have... they have a bad headache, a migraine. There are poskim will say that if a person has he feels like his head's on fire, then that's already a chayli shein b'sakana. But a person has a very bad headache. If it's a very bad toothache, a person has maybe very rough skin or something. So it's very 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 uncomfortable, but it's not impeding their normal behavior, they don't have to lie down. So then Chazal said for Keret, they were afraid that once they start to deal with it, they may end up going too far. So the way that the Ran explains this is that one of the sensitivities that we have is we get nervous about the pain. It's a Jewish thing. But it's, in other words, the Ran says that Odom Bola Gufay. Gemara says Odom Bola Mamaynay. The Ran says Odom Bola Gufay. We get nervous. So if we are told no medicine, all right. So Gzeirat Chazal, everything will be fine. We're not going to become significantly sick. We relax. Can't take the medicine. we deal with our discomfort. On the other hand, if we would say, deal with it, so we get all worked up. And we'd start saying, it's been half an hour now, Tylenol didn't kick in yet, maybe it's not going to kick in, should I do Motrin, should I Advil, look at the side effects, can I take it together? So we're going to get so worked up, maybe we'll look up other kinds of situations with our neighbors, what do they do when they had an earache? So then we're going to get so worked up that we're going to lose ourselves, and we're going to end up being Misachi Vesalamonim. So therefore, Chazal said, take it easy, and live with the discomfort. There is a big question that Rav Avraham Chaim Noah raised, and Rav Avraham Chaim Noah said, "What happened to Bot Lo Sibasa? We no longer grind medications, so we can be as worked up as possible. It's not going. Nobody here is going to end up going to the backyard plucking herbs and going to their herb collections and grinding herbs. Not going to happen. Hasn't happened in decades." So Rav Chaim Noah says that we have a Bali Atosis and Bey that say that Bola Sibasa, Bola Takanta, even though normally the Gemara says Bola Sibasa, Loi Bola Takanta, and the question should be a non-starter, but there are two Atosis and Bey that say Bola Sibasa, Bola Takanta. The Gemara says, Atosis says it's one of the reasons why we are makel with dancing in Shabbos, even though the Gemara says Shem Yisak and Kleimana, but since we no longer Kleishir can be Mesak and Kleishir. No one's tightening drums. No one's fixing up their musical instruments because of we're dancing. So the Taisva says, Bola Sibasa, Bola Takanta. Taisva says that that's one of the reasons why Taisva holds, others disagree, we're Mekil with Maya Magulim because we don't have scorpions around that leave their venom in our uncovered water. So even though there are Rishonim and Achronim who say we don't pass on this Tosfos, Rav Chaim Noah said we have Bali Tosfos that say, and we seem to follow that practice because we do dance, we do clap on. It's always a discussion, but Levaisa it's very mukubal, and there are those who say one can't do it after Mishina. You can only do it if it's a not a significant kind of a dance or a Chashulchan. So there are many who say that we still follow the din. But Avraham Chaim Noah said the pasuk the Tosfos is Bola Sibasa, Botla Takanta. When they once asked the Rav this question, he said, "Why are you bothering me with very difficult Tosfos?" In other words, because you have a difficult Tosfos, therefore you don't start making a sheet out of a difficult Tosfos. You try to be Miyashim, you can't be Miyashim. It's life to difficult Tosfos. You don't start making chubas and difficult Tosfos. So the Rav Chaim Noah responded to his own question by saying that there are still situations where people are grinding or cutting up medication. Therefore, it is not as far removed from our thinking as possible. But he also explained the yesod that Rav Schechter often discusses, and that is that based on a rush. That the only time when the Bali Tosfos said Bola Sibasa, Bola Takanta is if the Sibasa Takana was part of the Takana. We know that the Rambam writes that when Chazal were Mesakin Takanas, they did not announce the reasons. They Mesakin the Takana, and then they publicized it, and then a year later they evaluated whether the Takana had taken root or not. If it did take root, then they explained the Takana and gave their reasons for it. If it didn't take root, so then either they just let it go on its own, or they actually were officially unraveled the takana, different the schois. However, the Rosh says there were times when Chazal, when they announced the Siva, the takana, they announced the Siva as well. The fact that they announced the Siva at the same time as the takana, so the Rosh says that means that the Siva became a clause in the takana. And so Rav Chaim Noah says that perhaps it's one of those situations where Chazal were misaking. Rav Chaim Noah says that the situations where Tosfos says that Chazal were misaking, where Tosfos says Botla Sibasa Botla Takanta, those are situations where Chazal announced the Siva along with the Takana. Mevela, the Siva became part of the Takana. Mevela, when the Siva was Batal, the Takana was Batal. However, When it comes to medication on Shabbos, so then we have no evidence that Chazal were mesakein the Siva together with the Takana, and therefore it does not fit into this. That's the second reason he gave why the Takana is still in place. There is a tshuva by Rav Lozer Waldenberg, the Sitz Eliezer, that points out that if you look at the Rashi carefully, Nun Gimel Beis, Rashi says, Shim Natir Shum Refua, Nove Leschika Samamonim, Sheisutar, that the Chazal did not say, I'm afraid that if you take a Tylenol, that then you may end up not having enough Tylenols, and then you start grinding look at the box and see what the active ingredients are and look around and get them and grind them down. That was not what Chazal were afraid of. Chazal were afraid, Shim Natir Shum Refua, that any kind of refuah whatsoever, so then people would begin to think, that's the way Rav Waldenberg interprets this Rashi, that it would ultimately may not lead me to do my sickness on him, but people would get the impression, oh, medication and Shabbos, you're not going to take medicine and Shabbos, of course you're going to take medication and Shabbos, of course we're going to be able to have more on Shabbos, and so Chazal were afraid that, not that it'll lead me, but it'll lead to an overall rashlus that people will misunderstand the flexibility of the din. But it refers to any kind of refuah. That point of Rav Waldenberg does respond to Rav Chaim Noah's question, but it even responds to a much deeper question. And that is that if we look at the various halachas of not doing refuah and Shabbos, so the Rambam says that if there is a certain people which does not require a medication, so that should be mutter to do that. Chazal did not include that. And it would sound like from the Rambam, it would sound like that if it's a kind of physical therapy, so should be mutter in Shabbos. Because one doesn't use medication for physical therapy. On the other hand, we find, and Shulchan Aruch quotes that. On the other hand, Shulchan Aruch also quotes that one should not put wine inside of one's eye in Shabbos. Bathing one's eye with wine with a certain kind of medication and a certain kind of medical treatment. So, putting wine in one's eye, how is that going to lead to tzchikas hamamonim? Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch quotes, that one cannot use oils to massage a certain area in Shabbos because it could lead to tzchik samavonim. So on one hand, the Rav Waldenberg's approach explains the various isurim that we have recorded, that it's not that I'm afraid that by using wine I'll end up grinding something. That doesn't make any sense at all. But by using wine, and the wine's not going to be effective, and then I'm all worked up that I had this eye ache, and every other time that I did it, the wine worked, and now all of a sudden the wine's not working, and I'll get all worked up, there's much more serious. And I'll start trying to figure out what kind of medications to use. So therefore, the Rashi said, we don't do any refuah whatsoever, if we're healthy, and we're only suffering from a nechash baal. How do we resolve the steer in the Mechaber, who quotes the Rambam, that if it's a tipol that does not require some of it, on the other hand, it's also to bathe one's eye with wine? So Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Gon Kuf Lamed that, and he quotes a Taz, that the way we should resolve the Shulchan Aruch is the following way. If a person has a certain ailment, and this ailment never gets treated, an entire toolkit for this ailment, there's no medication which it in any way helps, so that's what the Rambam said, then one's allowed to do that kind of treatment. However, if the ailment that is being addressed by a non-medicinal treatment sometimes would be addressed by a medicinal treatment, so then that would be also as well explained by Rav Waldenberg's Torah. If a person that's coming back to physical therapy, that's Lani is Daiti, I think what I'm saying is correct, that sometimes a person has a stiff limb or something, so sometimes they will require certain kinds of exercises, but sometimes they'll also use certain kinds of ointments and salves. also address that stiffness with the Motrin to reduce the inflammation. So in that case, one could not do the physical therapy either, because that's what the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Taz, because that is a machal, an ailment that is addressed primarily through one kind of treatment, one kind of protocol, which is very far from a medicinal one, but in the toolkit, sometimes we'll pull out medicine as well. If one could think of an illness where it is entirely, singularly dealt with through non-medicinal treatments, can't think of one right now, so then then Mishnah Berurah would say that kind of refuah should be permissible on Shabbos. What else should we know about refuah and Shabbos? So let's discuss some of the another defining principle, and then some of the another defining principle is that Shulchan Aruch says refuah and Shabbos only osur if it's muchach milsa. If it's very, very clear that this item is a refuah item. Again, this is very well explained by Rav Waldenberg's approach, that we're afraid of creating a certain sense of heterim and Shabbos. So that means that, let's say, a person has a bad cold, and by having lots of oranges, everyone wants to have lots of oranges and tangerines. So therefore, he'll build up his vitamin C. So that's mutter and Shabbos. Even though right now he's eating these oranges, the teres refuah, but since it's a machol briyim, since it's a normal thing that healthy people use, so then it's not muchach milsa. Let's say a person has a bad throat, sore throat, so they want to drink hot tea. So we don't say that that's refuah, therefore they can't do it, even though they're doing it for refuah. Therefore, it's not muchach milsa. Meidach, the other way around as well. If there's something which, maybe just another way of saying this, is that if my kavona right now is for tanug, so then it would not be coming to the category of refuah on Shabbos. If something is prophylactic, right? In other words, I have no problem right now. I have a cut, and I want to keep the cut clean. So I want to put a gauze or band-aid on top of it. So that's not considered refuah. The band-aid is not going to help the healing of the cut, maybe even hindering of the cut. But the purpose of the band-aid is that it should not have an open wound. I don't want it to become infected. The emphasis is, preventing infection is preventing a chalas sakana. But let's say it's, for whatever reason, it's not going to become infected, I don't know. But I'm putting something which is preventative. So let's say a person's on a protocol to take a blood thinner. So let's say a person has a genetic predisposition to clotting, a genetic predisposition to heart ailments. These are not good examples because these are but these are all situations where I'm on a protocol which is preventative. Let's say a person has the following: a person has a predisposition to getting migraines. All right, they haven't had Baruch Hashem migraines in 6 months, but they know that if they have a certain medication, that that's this studies that by being on this medicinal protocol, they will avoid getting a migraine, avoid getting a headache. Maybe a migraine might be worse. That could be a chalashim v'sakana. But avoid getting a headache. They have, all right. So then that could be a situation. Person goes on a vasodilator in order to prevent a certain kind of, I wouldn't suggest you should do this, but that would be a situation where I'm taking a medication, but it's entirely to prevent a mechush. So So then that would be also be Shulchan. The Mishnah Berurah says that would also be mutter. Zach?
I was going to ask. I mean, it could be a very answer, but I was going to ask that the Shulchan Aruch talks about the silk between old band-aids and band-aids, and apparently old band-aids are better because they're softer. And yet the klal, what came out of it is that this thing I think you're suggesting about something that's medicinal versus
correct.
Something that's, I think in his lashon, I think they use the lashon of being like mesir, just removing the danger. But my question is. Isn't most medicine like the body itself does the healing, and you're just removing the impediments to the body doing the healing?
So one of the things that I don't think we have a clear definition of how halacha defines refuah for this purpose. That's a machlokes amongst the poskim. Is refuah defined by the impact, or is refuah defined by the tzura in which it's taken? For example, one possible example would be something like Viagra. Is Viagra refuah? So again, it's still our Shulchan Malachim. So there are those who say, I think the Minchas Yitzchak says that it would be mutter anyways because it's a Tzorach Mitzvah. But that would be an example of where some of the poskim said, that it looks like a medication, so therefore it should have the should be treated like medication. And others would say, but it's not addressing a machlo, so therefore it's not medication. So we don't have I don't know if that's really been, if anybody's written a definitive tshuva to really define. So what you're suggesting is that we should define all of medication as just removing a certain machlo. So that, I think, removing
the impediments to your body healing.
Right. So that, I don't know of anybody who looks at it that way. I would think that if you say that it still is a tzura of medicine.
I think in the Shulchan Aruch, when it talks about it, it's the old and new band-aid.
Yeah.
It's the chiluk that came out of
it. No. I understand that. But that looks at you looking at all of it, you have a very natural way of looking at things. So I don't know if that has made its way into the Sefer Yitzchak. If you, I don't know if the doctors even would accept that, but let's say we would have a product, and that would be the purpose of the product. So I don't know. My understanding would be that since it's both in reaction to a machla, and it's also the tzura of refuah, I think it would still be seen as medication. I mean, what you're referring to is really a form of certain kind of vitamins, you know, supplements. It's a machlokes when it comes to supplements. I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted as saying that a supplement is not a medication for that reason, because it's not addressing a machla. And Rav Moshe says that if the supplement is addressing a deficiency, so then that means I've defined a machlan as medicine. If it's not addressing deficiency, right? In other words, it's to pump up my vitamin C, not because I'm deficient, so then it is not a refuah. And the Shlomo Zalman says the exact opposite. If I have a deficiency, then I'm trying to accommodate, so that means it's really food. It's just I'm not taking my vitamin C through oranges, maybe through a... And if it's that I'm not deficient, but then it is refuah. So you have so that may be the closest we get in terms of the poskim addressing something which is not addressing a mach of which. But you want to apply that to all of medicine.
Well,
I don't know if that's...
Even if you get a flu shot, shot is really just helping your body realize that it needs to defend itself in a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah. So flu shot would come into the category of prophylactic medicine. I'm not sick yet.
Right. So you need to move it to Shabbos.
To be totally unnecessary to do in Shabbos, but...
I don't know. Yeah.
But if... I don't know. I mean, if... In the Chayra, I think that the... Let's say if you're in a situation where the rabbi of the shul said, no flu shot, can't come to the shul. Like the takana. Right, you only find out about it, you get the email. So yeah, only so there's a rav set up a table outside shul Shabbos morning to give flu shots. Yeah, he was nervous. It was a bad season or something. So or he has a investment in a pharmaceutical company that has dispensing flu shot virus. So if he makes this rule, so that would be the case. So giving the shot itself, since it's subcutaneous and it doesn't cause bleeding, so that would not be awesome. And I think putting the vial together, I think it's also lekach, the farik, the livnoi, so therefore it would not be mesakin mona. So so then it would probably be mutter, it would not be refuah in shav. There could be a situation, I can imagine a situation where you have a korev in a, I'll tell you what happened in our neighborhood, this is a fella. In our neighborhood there's a dementia unit which will not allow any guests. They had first had a 10-day shutdown. No visitors because they're afraid of the flu. And then they extended that, and then we don't know when they're gonna lift it. So no visitors. A person has a parent in a dementia unit and can't go in. It's terrible. Especially since it's sometimes a person, there are people who are coming in and out. So you can imagine a person who comes in and out and doesn't have a guest and doesn't know when his kids can come and visit. So Lu Yitzur, they would say, you can only come if you have a flu shot or something. So then, I couldn't imagine some kind of situation like that. Yeah, so that would come into this category.
I read a maintenance drug
for
someone who's on remission.
Sorry?
Like a maintenance drug,
if
someone's on
yes.
remission from
a condition. Yes, I'm not sure how to evaluate that. First of all the situations you're referring to are probably chayla mesukim to begin with. That's why I was trying to find a maintenance.
Stomach condition.
Was that?
A stomach condition.
Okay, a person who has, let's say a person is lactate intolerant or something and they come up with some kind of maintenance condition. So that means I'm not sick right now. I'm predisposed to a certain illness. So I would think that that'd be mutter. I think that'd be like the having the preventative medicine. There are two major, let's say, kulos that post can discuss when it comes to medication on Shabbos. One is, can we, if the medication can be done with a shinoi? How did that come about? Because the Gemara says, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if I need to use an eye salve on Shabbos, so I should make the salve an Erev Shabbos, and then apply it on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what do I gain by making an Erev Shabbos? I'm applying it on Shabbos. So apparently that's considered to be a shinoi. So now the question, how do we apply that? In other words, the refuah yidei shinoi chazal vermeikel. So how do we apply that? So there are some poskim who say, I'd give alex to take any medicine you want, just put in applesauce. And Rav Moshe said, not so fast. The chazal said that if you prepare it in an unusual way, Rav Moshe said, give alex is svara, because the whole iser of refuah is that we're afraid to end up preparing refuah on Shabbos. So now, if you went out of your way and you prepared it, Peshina, you prepared it for Shabbos, so then that's like the blech. That's like putting a heker, the mokim, right? Yeah, so you went out of your way to prepare, you have your salves, they're all prepared, you remind yourself. The reason why they're all prepared is because they can't do it on Shabbos. But just to make a new shinoi that Chazal didn't refer to, it's a Rishul Shitosa. The Rishul holds that you can't put a piece of tape over the dials. You have to have a shinoi the way Chazal Heker, the Chazal introduced the Heker. And then there is another, just a machlek is a poskim, whether we can apply any shin at all. Same say if it is an Isid Rabbanon. And in this case, both the Shevet Alevi and Rav Moshe both of us have a similar word. But I think there are other poskim who say that if one takes it, Bishin is also mutter. And then maybe we'll just pick up with this next week. And Shlomo Kluger quotes an oft quote. He says, "Margul fum di inshe," that if I began taking the medicine erev Shabbos, I can keep on taking it Shabbos as long as I began my protocol erev Shabbos. So Shlomo Kluger says, "Where does this margul fum come from? Where is the source for this?" So some, he says, it may come from this dinner b'tia. That's the advantage which Tawafik put it back. But Rishon Makluk says, l'chara, that's more of the, that's the shinui than Erev Shabbos. That's not really the basis for being makel to do the fact that Erev Shabbos, I should continue to be doing it on Shabbos itself. So, it is quoted in the Minchas Shabbos, and nevertheless, Rishon Kluger says that he thinks that if I can apply it in the same way as the Sol, in other words, where it was prepared Erev Shabbos, and that is not the usual way it's being done, so then one should be able to make it. But generally speaking, we don't have a very good source for this, and although it's quoted in Minchas Shabbos, so there are other Gedolim who have given various svaris. For Shlomo Kluger said, maybe it means that you're not really taking medicine on Shabbos; you're taking a week-long medicine, taking one on Shabbos. Waldenberg had a suggestion that medicine is only considered medicine if it gets me better. So if it's not the last dose, it's not getting me better. It's very hard to substantiate this kula, even though it is fairly broadly received. So Lamaisa, I think we try very hard not to be semech on this kula, because it's very hard to find exactly where it came from. Okay, we'll pick up next week with a new Nachum edition.
So
if you're
antibiotics,
you should skip those, Travis? Antibiotics, first of all, that is a Yerchola Masukun. If you take antibiotics, that's number one. Having said that, I think it pays to ask the doctor whether if one misses one dose, will make a difference. Usually, if one misses one dose of the first few days, it could make a difference. But the last few days are really preventative, so it may not make a difference.
How about prenatal vitamins for a pregnant woman?
Yeah. The vitamins. So, lechara, those are not the. I doubt if you miss one dose of your prenatal vitamins, there's an impact on the pregnancy. But if the doctor thinks it would, so then there's a lot to be simcha and meikel, because it's machal briyah, you're not responding to an illness. And it's not built up for deficiencies, so you have to be simcha.